Welcome to the One Step Wealthier podcast, where I help you to get a little bit better every day and to achieve your financial goals. Follow along with me, and every week we will talk about all things personal development and personal finance. Together, we can get one step wealthier. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of the One Step Wealthier podcast. So today I wanted to talk about every job I took to fund my FIRE journey. Let's go for it. As you might know, I am pursuing financial independence and early retirement. That means that I don't want to work until I'm 65. I want to exit the workforce way earlier than that, and I want to live my dream life. I want to do whatever I want to do. I don't want to do what my boss or somebody else wants me to do. And as you know, I'm not in tech or I'm not in finance. I'm not a dink either, so I don't have somebody else who has another income. I'm not dual income, no kids. I'm actually a sink, which is single income, no kids, and just above minimum wage. So, how do you pursue FIRE in that setup? You take any job. You work every job that is given to you, basically. And I mean every job. Apart from selling your body, that's where I draw the line. But everything else counts. So every little penny, every little minimum wage job or not such a minimum wage job, it's okay in my world. So I studied translation and interpreting. I have a degree in translation and interpreting. I speak multiple languages. And before I started studying that, and also while I was studying that, I thought that I would be very successful in my career. And I still remember in high school, one of my teachers told me, yes, if you study translation with all of your abilities, the companies will actually fight for you. So I was ready for the companies to fight for me. So when I finished, I was like, where are all the companies fighting for me? And also I finished into the 2008 financial crisis. So it was 2011. Anyway, the things were not like my teacher imagined, really, or like I imagined. And that's okay. So the reality is that I landed a job in a software company and I was translating the software for a while. So it was about 3 years. And then the company realized that they didn't need the software to be translated into Spanish or into any other language, and they made the whole team redundant. To be honest with you, it was a very, very boring job. It was like, congratulations, you selected the printer 2. Please click here to select the printer 1. And I was thinking, is that my life? Is that all there is? Hey, I just wanted to pause for a second and let you know that I made something for you. It's a free guide called Start Investing Without Freaking Out. I created it for women who want to invest, but feel like it's not for people like us. It's a guide I wish I had 10 years ago, when I had no idea where to begin. Just click the link in my Instagram bio at One Step Wealthier or in the description below to grab it. Now, back to the episode. So I realized early that translating was not sustainable or exciting at the time. That's when I tried for the first time to become a freelance worker, and I realized how much competition there was out there, and there was always somebody ready to do the same job for much less pay, for way below minimum wage. And even now, AI is doing that for free. So I realized translation was not sustainable, so I jumped onto something else. And what was that something else? So that's something else. I started working in numerous call centers. More than I could imagine, really. I worked in many different companies, answering phones all day in customer service. And that's not pretty. I mean, at the time, I didn't mind it. I think now I would mind it a little bit more. And I'm still getting a lot of emails, maybe once a month, twice a month, offering me some odd call center job somewhere in south of Europe. And it was okay for the time. It paid the bills and then some. And it taught me many things. It taught me how to express myself, how to sound confident on the phone, how to speak with strangers. It was great for that. And also it gave me some office experience, which was great as well. If you work in a call center, you have to sound professional no matter how absurd is the call, okay? So that's actually something that I took out from that job. But then call centers are not pretty. You have 3 minute target for every call. You have to make 60 to 70 calls every single day. And if you don't, you get fired. There's another person waiting in the queue for your chair. So it doesn't really matter. If you don't hit your target a couple of weeks in a row, you get fired and that's it. Also now, whenever I speak with a personal call center, I actually remember that I used to be there. And if a call center person ever hangs up on you, don't be mad, okay? Maybe they just trying not to get fired next week because maybe they didn't hit their target with this week and they're trying to kind of shorten their calls a little bit by hanging up a few of them to not to get fired. So maybe they're trying just to feed their kids. So please do not be mad at them. Forgive them. Call again. I'm not saying that I was doing that. Anyway, yeah, you do what you have to do. So let's change the topics. So just to summarize, I wasn't very proud of this work, but it built my key skills. It allowed me to control my voice, allowed me to regulate myself emotionally as well, because it's not easy to get shouted at, not on every call, but pretty much on every second call, and being called all sorts of words because the distance is there. They don't see you and they don't call you pretty words, really. They don't praise you. They might even not praise you if you do something right, but if your company that you are representing, because you are the voice of the company, but you have nothing to do with the company. Most of the time, you don't even work for that company. Most of the time, this is an external company providing the call center services for that big company. And people, when they call, I don't really get that. They just think that they are speaking with the CEO. The CEO is not out there taking your calls. You're not that important. So this was during my 20s. I had a translation job and I also had numerous call center experiences, let's say. And when I was 30, I decided to give it all up. I decided to just leave Europe for a while. And that was my second attempt to pursue my career as a freelance translator on the go from my laptop, from somewhere else, from somewhere exotic. And that was going to be super cool. It was for a while until I realized that I was not making that much money. And I was like, oops. I need to pay my bills. Well, I had some savings. That's true. I was always a good saver, even from those call center jobs. But I was like, okay, now I need to make some more money. So for me, it was quite humbling that I had to take some jobs that I probably wouldn't have ever considered because I had a university degree. You know, that was a big deal, I thought. And I had to take the real jobs, not the ones that is like a factory work of the modern era, which is call center. No, like the real ones. Waitressing, barista, giving out flyers, gym promos. I was working as an entertainer for a while as well. That was fine. And I did all sorts of jobs apart from selling my body. And it was very humbling to just see what's out there, that there were more things than a call center. Because at some point in my 20s, when I was working in a call center, I thought that this is all there was because all my friends were doing exactly the same. And I was in a city where if you would leave one call center, there would be another 5 lined up for you. So you could try them all. And I was just jumping from call center to call center at some point, and none of them were better. It was just different glass building, but it was exactly the same. So that was kind of a reality shock for me in my 30s to take those kind of humbling jobs. But I did it. You do what you have to do. So just before the pandemic, I also worked for an NGO fundraiser. We were building schools and I was the fundraising girl. So I was the person who would encourage everybody to fundraise because I'm very outspoken. I'm very extroverted. So it kind of suited me for a while. It wouldn't have suited me probably for a long time, but it was okay. During COVID, I gave the freelance interpreting and translating the third try. And I said, okay, so now I have time. I can immerse myself fully into that. And I started translating. I was working a lot and I was not making much really. And I was also interpreting for US during COVID. I was interpreting some medical calls. So US clients, but I had to have some UK patients and I was on Vietnamese salary. It was actually pretty bad. It was really bad, but then I had nothing to do. And I was like, okay, so I'm just going to interpret for a little bit. And I speak the languages. I can do that. It's effortless for me. So let's do that. And I did it. It was awful. And I realized that it was very emotionally exhausting and probably very low paid, because you would get paid per minute. No, actually it was per second. You would get paid per second, but only the calls that you would receive. So you were probably working 8 hours because you were waiting for that call, right? When the call arrives, you have to be on top of that. You have to answer the call quickly and you have to interpret. And it might be a 911 call, emergency call. So it might be somebody that it cannot breathe because they have COVID. And it was really badly paid. When I started translating again, I remembered why I quit. I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense now. I always forget why I quit, and then I come back again to my profession, and I'm like, oh yes, that's why I quit. So I still showed up, I still did the work and kept the fire goal in mind. And then I had another job, which was in HR, because I speak German. It's kind of those kind of customer service jobs are quite easy to get. And I was working for that for a couple of years before I moved to London. And when I moved to London, I didn't move with any plan whatsoever. I just wanted to test the waters first. And I first started working as a waitress, as a hostess in events, which I'm still doing. I'm still working as a hostess for different football stadiums and for different concerts and for different events, which could be quite fun. And then I got my security license and I started working in security, and I'm still there now. I'm still working as a security officer. It's not where I expected to land. So I didn't study translation interpreting. I didn't work all those jobs and learned all those languages and got my financial advisor qualification to end up in security. But it is something that is low stress. It pays my bills and it also gives me some space to create. So before landing in security and before doing waitressing here in London, I still tried to become a translator, an interpreter. So I was interpreting for a little while for the NHS and for social services such as Universal Credit, so Department of Working and Pensions. I don't think that was a minimum wage. I think that was below. It was 19p per minute, probably. But this is per minute interpreted. So the moments that you don't receive calls, you don't get paid. So if you stay connected for 8 hours straight or 6 hours straight, it was like 30 quid or something. It's really bad. Really badly paid. So anyway. So at the moment, what I'm doing now, so I'm working my security job. I am still hostessing in events in different football stadiums and in different car promotions. And I also do cat sitting. And I think that's fun. That's really, really calming. And I'm still occasionally translating. So I'm translating now one or two books a year. I've translated about 25 books over my lifetime. And now I try to keep it low. I try to keep it like one or two books per year as the projects come. I'm also being quite picky when they come in because it's not that well paid. It's really not. If I would have to survive from translating books, I would probably be homeless. Not even that. I couldn't even afford to be homeless. So yes, it's bad. It's really, really bad. But anyway, it's fine. It's fine because there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of people offering their services as well, because a lot of people finish the university the same as me with a very high hopes. And then they encountered this, but it's okay. This sounds like a rant. This podcast is not supposed to be a rant. This podcast is supposed to be me telling you how I achieve FIRE with different side gigs and the things that I had to do to get to where I am today. Okay. So disclaimer, this is not a rant. Okay. It's not supposed to feel like a rant. I'm just ranting about being a translator, but it's not supposed to be like that. I'm very grateful. I travel the world. I speak multiple languages. I'm very grateful for my translation degree. Okay. Yes. So basically this is my summary of all my gigs that I did, because somebody asked me that the other day and I was like, okay, I'm going to do a podcast episode about different things that I had to do and different things that I'm still doing to kind of like get some cash here and there to invest and to keep up with my FIRE journey. So at the moment I work more than 50 hours a week. There's some weeks that I work more. And that is obviously not counting my podcast at all, because podcasting is not paid. That is something that is mine. It's my baby. Yes, I'm keeping that. And I also am sharing a flat here in London. And I share the flat by choice because I want to stay on track with my FIRE goals. And as you know, in February, I got fully qualified from becoming a financial advisor. I'm a qualified regulated financial planner. And also I can advise on mortgages and equity release. So why am I not doing that? Well, to be honest with you, I thought about it long and hard. I might be coming to that, but the issue is that if I work for one of those companies in the city, I have to sell products that I don't truly believe in. And I actually prefer to give that advice on my own way by coaching people and by giving them guidance rather than advice. So I'm not slacking here. I'm choosing freedom. And I work a lot. Probably as a financial advisor, I wouldn't work that many hours a week, but I work with something that is aligned with me, not with something that would be aligned with a company who is only looking to make profit and not to help people. I would work for a company that has very high values, and I still need to find that company. So until I find it, I will still keep producing my podcast and I will try helping people in other ways that I think that are more suitable. So FIRE isn't actually for six-figure dinks, dual income, no kids. It can be attained for a sink like me as well, with a bike and a lunchbox. So what was the weirdest job you ever did to make some extra money? DM me with that. I'm curious to hear, actually. What was the weirdest job? And also, to invest, are you waiting for the perfect income, or are you ready to start with what you've got? Because hopefully this podcast episode will show you that you don't have to have a six-figure salary to start investing, that you can actually start investing from very low-paid jobs. And it doesn't really matter if you're not making that much money. So if this resonated and you want to talk about your money journey, I'm opening up a few free coaching spots. Just message me on Instagram, One Step Wealthier, or email onestepwealthier@gmail.com. No pressure, just a chat. And I hope that my today's reflections have motivated you to start investing. Remember, the best time to invest was yesterday, and the second best is today. And please note that this is not individual financial advice. Please do your own research before making any financial decisions. You have just invested in your personal development by listening to this podcast. Thank you for being here and helping yourself to become one step wealthier. Don't forget to subscribe to access new content every week and to better yourself. Stay wealthy, and I hope that you have a wonderful day.